So I don't know if you remember me. Who remembers me from February? Well, there's a few with, we were here in February together and we led a little session upstairs on the Saturday, Caroline and I, and then preached on the Sunday. And back then when I was here, you were ending a series in Matthew that you'd done for about 100 years, right? And so it was a privilege to be there. But here we are again. We're in November, and we're back in Matthew again. So we really love Matthew, don't we? So tonight's topic we're going to be talking about is the world needs to hear about Jesus. And we're going to look at Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. So let me read that out for us. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So I'm going to get you to do something right off the bat here. I'd like you to pick your favorite word from those verses. And let me just qualify, you're not allowed to have the word Jesus, because that is always the right answer. And Matt's not allowed to have the. Okay, it's a very important word, but we're not having the again, okay? So just tell your neighbor what your favorite word is and why. Go for it. All right, I'd love to go around the room and hear all your answers, but we're not going to do that for the sake of time. Have you ever said the phrase, "You are an absolute savior," to someone? You might have even said it today. You got into a bit of a pickle somehow and somebody helped you out. Or maybe somebody said that to you because you're a very helpful person, right? So they said that to you. Somebody's laughing at the back there. So there we go. Now, Jesus, we know, is Savior. And what he did on the cross for us is a crucial act of love that we needed, right? We needed total rescue in our lives. And we're going to come back to that. But many experienced his graceful saving whilst he was living, as he was here on earth. And we see that in Matthew's gospel. So any of you have been reading Matthew's gospel, which many of you did for many years, chapter 9 I'll give you a little overview. There's an amazing list of things that Jesus was doing, and it comes thick and fast. So you've got, he was forgiving sin. He was healing the paralyzed. He was calling disciples to himself. He was teaching. He was raising dead people, he was healing someone bleeding, he was healing blind and mute, and he was casting out demons. That is quite a list. Please go away and read the chapter yourself. But our chapter, at this part of the chapter, these verses, verse 35 onwards, it feels like a crescendo in Jesus's work. Jesus is busy, right? He's busy. He's working hard. He goes to all places. He's teaching, he's proclaiming good news, and he's healing. This is Jesus' saturation strategy. Everyone, everywhere. And Jesus, maybe he didn't just spend himself on the cross for you, but he was living his life, meeting people's needs. And so Jesus was, Jesus was meeting the needs of the people. And that's my first point tonight, is that he was meeting people, he was sharing the good news. But then he, as you see in that verse, he had compassion. And I love this. I love this word, compassion. Jesus had compassion. He saw people. Verse 36. That's actually my favorite word. Who had saw? Okay, a few of us. You obviously got the right answer. Now, there were lots of right answers there. He sees the need of the people. He saw the state of people. He saw they were harassed and helpless. And these are just a few verses, but share incredible love that Jesus has for people. And that's you included. And I would encourage you to meditate on exactly that fact, that Jesus has compassion for you. And he sees your inner self, and he sees your needs. So that was my first point. Jesus meets needs. Meet the need meter. But the second one is, and this is what we find quite quickly, is there is a world in need. There's a world in need we see from this passage. So we're all quite familiar with this sheep metaphor. Here is a picture of some sheep that we took the photo of on our holiday in the Lake District. And I think we were harassing them a little bit, actually, as we were driving along the road. These are Herdwick sheep, right? Does anybody know their sheep? Nobody here. I'm not the sheep expert, surely, in the room. These are beautiful sheep. If you're going to have a favorite, this is the one to have. Anyway, Jesus says that people are like sheep without a shepherd. And we know the sheep metaphor, don't we? We know how vulnerable sheep are, how easily spooked they are, how easily they're picked off by predators, maybe lacking leadership, direction and pastoring that is needed. They need a shepherd. But yes, there are times in our life where we have need. And I wonder what the greatest moment of need in your life is, because we're all sheep and we have needs. I'm not going to get you to answer that question now, but you can think about it. I wonder what the greatest need moment was in your life, when you maybe got lost or you needed to be rescued or something like that. Maybe I could share you one of ours. This is a little bit of a testimony as well. So we used to live in Namibia. Has anybody been to Namibia? Yes, the South African in the room, because Namibia is right next to South Africa. So we used to live there. We lived there for 8 years. We were working with Agape down there, and we were driving one day with our two small children. We were driving on a very lonely desert road. A lot of Namibia is desert. And we were in the middle of the desert, really. We hadn't seen a car, maybe for about an hour at this point. And our car, as we took a corner, it spun in a big cloud of dust. And we ended up on the side of the road in a ditch with the tires off the rims of the car, off the hubs, that's right. And we were okay. Amazingly, there were no injuries amongst us, just a little bit shaken up maybe. And so we were in the middle of the desert. We hadn't seen anybody, no cell phone reception. My wife reminded me of this earlier, no cell phone reception, very important. And we were just stuck there. But this amazing thing then happened. 10 minutes later, a pickup truck pulled round and came to meet us. And who would you want in that pickup truck if you were in that exact situation? You would. These are the three people that were in the pickup truck. The first one was a car mechanic. The second one, even more importantly, was a tire specialist. And possibly even more important, the third one was a lovely lady to look after our kids after they'd been a little bit traumatized. A trinity, if you like, of help that came to us. And so we were quite harassed and helpless at this point. We needed some serious assistance. And it feels like God sent us exactly the people we needed to sort out the situation. Now, we were in a physical need that moment. But Jesus sees our hearts. And he sees the crowd. And he sees the crowd, the people of the UK, or the people of Worthing today. And he sees their heart. And he sees many are harassed and helpless, confused, aimless. And it might be harder to see for us. Because we cover up our need, don't we? We put on our Instagram face, don't we? Our social media faces. Here's the best bits of me, you know. This is me at my best. But maybe even things like affluence masks loneliness and hopelessness, even meaninglessness. So I was doing an outreach a few weeks ago, just nearby St. Paul's Cathedral, and I was just talking to business people going about their day at lunchtime, actually, and I got talking to this one guy, gregarious, kind of level-headed young businessman who's not a Christian, and we just got chatting, and we got into deeper conversation, and he was very happy to chat. And he was recognizing that life is tough for people, and he was saying how many people he knew were just finding it hard to keep going without feeling like ending it all. So he was recognizing that in today's world, there is a lot of harassed and helpless people. And he's not a Christian. And he was having all these conversations with people about that. And I find myself having these conversations with people as well as I initiate chats about spiritual things. And the subject of hope comes up. And a good percentage of people seem to be hopeless. And maybe you are. Maybe you walked in here tonight and you don't feel like there's a lot of hope. And maybe you feel harassed. And maybe you feel helpless. Jesus has genuine compassion on you and has passion for you as well. Do you feel lost in the crowd? Jesus sees you. He sees you. So people need to hear about Jesus because he wants to be their shepherd. And so that's the second point, a world in need. And the third point is you are needed. You are needed. Now I'll put a little asterisk on there if you can see that. And I'll come back to why that is the case in a moment. Let me tell you another little story. We live in London, as we said, and one day I was walking out of my block of flats, and as I came onto the pavement, there was somebody walking past me at that point. And he kind of stopped, and he kind of looked at me, and then he said, "You're famous, aren't you? I can't remember who you are. But you're famous, aren't you?" And then he just walked off on his way. I reckon it was Tom Cruise, he thought I was, yeah. Well, you were saying Stephen Gerrard, maybe. but I won't do the Scouse accent right now. But that's right. Identity is an important topic for us. And I certainly had a mistaken identity. But the question comes up is, how do I see myself? And those of us who are following Jesus, he's in the process of changing us to be a bit more like him, hopefully a lot more like him. And the word Christian means like a mini Christ, right? A Christ lookalike. And I'm thinking as I'm reading this passage, how compassionate do I feel towards people? Those who are harassed, those who are helpless. How Jesus-like am I? This passage really challenges me in that. But again, on this idea of identity, as I reflect on myself, what is my primary identity? How do I see myself? So I work for a Christian organization, so a Christian charity. Do I say of myself, I'm a charity worker who happens to be a Christian? Or am I a Christian who happens to be a charity worker? And it's subtle, isn't it? But it is very important. and that informs the way I live my life. Maybe you're a dentist, and how would you say who you are? Are you a dentist who happens to be a Christian, or a Christian who happens to be a dentist? And we need Christian dentists, don't we? We certainly do. So, identity is very important. And as we think about ourselves, not just as Christians, as people trying to be a bit more like Christ, but maybe we're calling ourselves, and the word Christian even needs to be defined, people who follow Jesus. But are we people who follow Jesus and help other people to follow Jesus as well? So Jesus in the passage then changes the metaphor a little bit, and he moves from livestock to agriculture. He moves from sheep to crops, and he starts talking about the harvest. So he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And what do we need to do? Jesus tells us. You've probably clocked this already. He tells us to pray. And he says, pray. Talk to God about sending reinforcements. Now, this is a picture of an orchard. This is not the very orchard I'm going to talk about now, but I went once in an orchard in Kent. And as I was walking along the orchard, as you can see from this picture, there are fruit lying on the ground, not just in the basket, but lying on the ground, and it's rotting. And I saw this orchard. There were loads of fruit just rotting on the ground. And I felt at that moment God was really speaking to me. And I started to ask the question, why aren't there more people picking the fruit? Why haven't they got more workers to do this? There's such a waste. It's such a waste. And it challenged me to say, actually, coming back to this verse, God says, pray for more workers. We need more reinforcements to bring in the harvest. The harvest is ready, and we can see that all over this country at the moment. And Jesus goes everywhere in that particular part of Israel, as you saw. And Jesus he doesn't need us, and this is the asterisk. Jesus doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us, like much of biblical history. And Matthew in this gospel makes obvious to us that more hands are needed to go further. So it's the importance of prayer. Pray for those, pray for the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more workers out into the harvest field. Do you know what happens in the next chapter of Matthew? Of course you do, because you were part of the series. Chapter 10, it says that Jesus sends out the 12 to go and take the good news around the place. And so, interestingly, Jesus, in the end of chapter 9, says, pray for more workers, and then he sends them out. And the question is, are you an answer to your own prayer? They have seen Jesus at work, they've experienced him at work, and they are apprentices of Jesus. And now is their practical session to go and learn how to do it. And you can't learn to swim on dry ground, right? You need to get in the water. And so Jesus is sending them out to learn to do that by actually doing it. And so he sends out his apprentices, and I'm an apprentice of Jesus, and maybe you are too. I follow him, not in an Instagram kind of way, but by trying to replicate what he did, reaching out and compassionately caring for people by sharing the good news and praying for people. So, workers are needed. Why? Because Jesus is needed. We recommend Jesus to people. So I'm just going to get you, just for a few moments, I'd like you to think about this question, and I'd like you to turn to your neighbor, just real quick. I'm only going to give you a moment to do this, but I'd love you to think about, how do you benefit the most from the relationship you have with Jesus, if you have one? And how do you want others to also benefit from Jesus? So maybe at least do the first question, and if you get to the second one, great. So just quickly turn to your neighbor and share an answer to that question. 30 seconds. Great. The answers to this question really interest me, and so it pains me to not be able to hear all your answers. But what you have just said to each other is really important to share with other people, because what is most important about Jesus to you would be a great thing for somebody who doesn't know Jesus to hear about. So you are needed. You are needed in the harvest, because the fields are white. And the final point we're going to look at tonight, I don't know why it's not going. It's been great so far. Maybe you could just put it onto the next one for me. Thank you. That's the one. Thank you very much. Motive for meeting needs in the world. If you needed a little bit more motivation, I just wanted to bring a story from the Old Testament to you from a book called 2 Kings. And it's about the king of Aram laying siege with his army, laying siege on Samaria and the Samaritan city there. And there was a great famine in this city. Some of you maybe have heard this story before. There was a famine there because the Israelites were surrounded by their enemies, sealing them in. And starvation was so bad that cannibalism had started to take hold. People were practicing that. But in the story, there are four men who are sitting by the city gate, and they have leprosy. So they're outcasts in their society, but they're sitting by the city gate, and they are having a conversation. They're saying, why should we stay and starve? Why don't we take our chances and surrender to the enemy? We've got nothing to lose. And so they get up and they go into the Arameans' camp, and lo and behold, it is empty. There is nobody there. And that is because God has been at work and he has scared the whole enemy off. And so what did these men do? Well, they got straight to it. There's all this food lying around. They'd left in such a hurry, their enemy. They just left stuff. They'd left drinks and food. And so they just got busy eating and drinking. And then they noticed, there's these nice clothes here as well. We could have those, and started trying them on, and they were finding all these precious things like gold, and they're like, this is ours now. And they started hiding these things because it was theirs. And then they had a moment of lucidity, and they said, what we are doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. And so conscience prompted them to go back to the city and share the news the enemy had gone, and that they could come and find the food and the water. This is the day of good news. Now the lepers, this was a life and death decision for them. They were to perish or live on this decision, and they found life. But we, those of us who follow Jesus, have found eternal life through Jesus. And we want to share that with others. We benefited from the grace of God in our lives. We are filled and have new riches in Christ. Are we hiding them and not sharing them? That's something to ponder on. So this is a passage that challenges me. Maybe it challenges you. And as we come into land on this, it still doesn't want to work. Maybe the batteries are going. Thank you. What is God asking you to do as a result of interacting with this passage? Let me suggest some things that might be what is a good response here, but this is up to you and God, and I'll give you a few moments in a moment to just chat to God about this. But maybe you are to pray for more workers. Maybe you haven't been doing that and you feel like, well, I know that Jesus wants me to do that because he says it in Scripture. One of the few places in Scripture where he says specifically what we should pray for. So maybe it's to pray for more workers. Maybe it's to engage with the fact that God wants to send you. And not just somewhere else in the world, but across the road or to a colleague or whatever. Maybe it's to start to identify with being someone who not just follows Jesus, but helps make followers of Jesus. Or maybe it is to pray regularly. Like the last time I was here, those of you might remember me saying this, five in focus. Pray for five people who don't know Jesus in your life. Maybe pray regularly for them. And take the initiative, maybe daily, to do that. And maybe for those of you who are already doing that, maybe you're thinking, what is my next step with one of those people I'm praying for? How can I be intentional with the way I'm approaching them and helping them to get to know Jesus? So there are just some suggestions for you. Maybe some of those resonate with you. Maybe God is saying something else for you. But I'm just going to give you a few moments to talk to God in your heart, and then I will end in a prayer. Lord, thank you that you're a compassionate, loving Lord. And you see our hearts. You see the state of the world. You see how harassed and helpless we are. You see us, our personal needs. And we are known by you. And you also see our identity. And you see us as your child, but also your workers. And Lord, may you send us out. May you speak to us about how we can do that in small ways, small steps, intentional steps. We pray that you would speak to us and secure these things in our heart that you have spoken to us about tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name.